Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. It's Matt and Alex leading you on another adventure, another episode. This time we go into the draft talk. But Alex, how are you doing?
I watched the first season of Dairy Girls over the weekend. You ever check that show out?
No, haven't, unfortunately. But
as an American, I want to know, are they embellishing the Irish accent or is that really just the dialect of that region? Because they're really leaning into it. It's pretty great.
I think the lead girl, is it Aisling B?
No.
I think she's actually Irish.
Well, no, she's not on that show. She's my favorite. I know everything about Aisling B.
Don't let your missus hear that.
It's fine. She's in the other room. She knows about it. You know, we watch all those shows, the Big Fat Quiz of whatever, and, you know, and she was on Celebrity Bake Off. Yeah, I mean, she knows that I watch me some Aisling. So, but yeah, and the other crazy thing is after watching the season, I do the Wikipedia, all those girls that are playing, you know, teenagers, they're all like 30.
Yeah.
How the hell?
I know.
They make it very convincing. It's crazy.
Exactly.
But yeah,
exactly.
I think watch it. It's funny. I mean, I understood like 70% of the dialogue, but you know, it's what I caught was funny.
Oh, dearie me. I would never expect you to actually watch something like that.
Yeah, you know, you hear, you know, all of this is a good show, that's a good show, and then you just stumble upon it one day where you're like, I got nothing going on, let's just put something on. also
better than the Sabres then.
Jesus Christ. How do you feel about the impending fall of the monarchy thanks to an actress from California?
No, don't get me started. I mean, the claim that racism was a reason, or mainly in the press, was a reason they left, and no disrespect to the Americans, but I think there's a lot more racial heightening in America than there is at the moment in the UK on there. But then Prince Harry, when he's actually younger, he was dressed as a Nazi. He had his flaws back then. So it's I don't know. I don't know. I just, it's why now? Why 3 years later? And I just don't believe half the stuff that comes out of it, to be honest.
You make a good point. Is it for ratings? Is it for shock value? Or is it true? And, you know, people just take a long time to feel comfortable about talking about it. I mean, if anybody knows me personally, you know, down with the monarchy, you know, destroy big government, you know. But it's crazy to see, you know, from watching The Crown to this and just seeing like all the problems that they had with Princess Di and now this, it's just ridiculous that, you know, the problems aren't getting fixed.
Dog wants an opinion.
Yeah, there's a motorcycle outside and my dog does not like motorcycles.
Damn dog.
No, good dog. Good dog. Just not great right now.
But anyway, let's move on. Let's get the news out of the way. We've got a couple of bits of good news. don't know which one you want to start with first. You want to start with Micah Hyde or Mitch
Moss?
Yeah,
we'll start with the oldest of the three bits. So Micah Hyde gets an extension. And, you know, when we signed him, I was like, I always have this idea about free agents. What's broken about you that your current team didn't want you for? You know? So when we signed him, I'm like, here's a guy when I don't know many defensive players. I know this guy's name. What's wrong with him? And, you know, honestly, I think maybe he just didn't reach his potential because since joining us, he's been his best self.
Yeah. I mean, with that, I mean, you can take that to any free agents. I mean, you can label that to Matt Milano. What's the other team that they didn't re-sign you? I think with Micah Hyde's case, I think it's like us, is they were a bit short on the salary cap. I don't know if anyone can confirm that or not, but I mean, it has to be one of the most underrated signings, along with Jordan Poyer, that we've actually that we've made in God knows how long. Obviously, present coming with the trade for Diggs, but that's a trade, not a free agency move that we've actually done in a long time. And
I mean, I would say that Poyer is even a better signing because Hyde at least had a little bit of prestige to his name. Being a fifth round draft pick, but working your way into the starting lineup, and you know, he was never really even like a full-time starter with them, but you know, he was a guy who had, you know, some news to his name. But Poyer was like a who is this guy, and they knew that he had the ability, and that was so great of a signing for sure.
Oh yeah, I mean it's good. He's actually he's 30. I can't remember how old he is. What is he?
Micah Hyde's 30.
30, so 32, keep him in there for another couple of years. He says he wants to see out his career in Buffalo.
They all say that, but
the one thing that really caught me with him was actually what he said, that he doesn't know why other free agents wouldn't consider going to Buffalo at that time when he went over there. I mean, was that his exact words? I can't remember. But he was actually saying that, oh, how he doesn't understand how, and calls it bullshit, that these players don't want to come to Buffalo for whatever reason. I'm gonna see if I can pick up the news on that, but
that's been a topic to talk about forever. It's like, you know, why can't Buffalo attract free agents? It's been you know, the biggest thing is that they're not good, but we are now. And then it's the weather, but then, you know, I mean, when you're good, the weather doesn't matter because New England was getting players, you know. Players love to play in New York, and the weather is, you know, they get snowstorms. Pittsburgh just as bad, and they get players. So it all comes down to organization prestige. And what we've built is free agency proof. Guys will choose to come here because they can be their best self. And that's the most important thing, I think. Because to the player, to the fans, it's all about winning. But I really think to the players, they know it's a business. So it's about what can I do now to make my next contract even better?
No, exactly.
You go to a winning team, because if you can put W's next to your name, that equals dollar signs.
Yeah, I found the quote. It was actually when he was talking to our friend Matt Perino of New York Upstate. He goes, he says, they're going on visits and be like, and I'd be like, hey man, come to Buffalo. They'd be like, I'm cool, I'm going to go somewhere else. He goes, and you're going to say, so, well, you know that, you know what, at the end of the day, I bet they're pretty pissed off they didn't take those visits to Buffalo. Now they're probably sitting on their trash team or sitting on the couch somewhere because they didn't come to Buffalo. And going on to say later on in that interview, said about the city itself should be a draw. Said there's a lot of guys that think Buffalo is just the old Buffalo, not winning and all that. It's disrespect because the city is an amazing city. The team, the organization are amazing, Hyde said. At the end of the day, we're trying to win football games. And if you don't want to be in Buffalo, don't come. If I'm able to finish my career in Buffalo, that's the ultimate plan.
That's a powerful quote. You love the passion. I mean, get to see him in the guy's jersey, you know? That's the kind of thing that you want to see. I mean, I kind of understand what he's saying. You know, I love Buffalo, and I'm set to go back November, December, when my wife's work contract is up. But there's been the rumblings of conversations about finding jobs in London and staying here. At the same time, London is a better and bigger city than Buffalo, but Buffalo does have that something that just holds on to you when you go there. I mean, I ask a stranger, Buffalo or London, you know, they'd smack me in the face, but it's literally a conversation, not just because of family and friends and everything, which plays an important part for me, but, you know, Buffalo has great restaurants. They have a lot of really nice places to visit in the summer. You know, a lot of really great craft breweries, which I think is one really important part for me. You know, I love a good bar scene, and Buffalo really has that. You know, and obviously the Bills and the Sabres. I really want to watch me some live sports, not at 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. So,
yeah.
But great for Micah Hyde, you know, great player, two more years, decent numbers, great dollar amount, two more years. Like I said, not going to put us in his decline years yet. Maybe that 33 will be like the start of his decline year. So that's a really smart contract. There's one other contract that's just recently been signed that is really important for us. And that's Dak Prescott's contract. Now we've never experienced something like this where we have a quarterback that's going to sign a massive fucking contract. That scares me because forever and ever and ever, we need to have a team. It's got to be a team. And when we sign Allen to possibly top five quarterback money, it's going to be like, oh my God, what do we do about the rest of the team now? You know, you're going to need to go. Did you say have you seen Moneyball?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Fantastic baseball movie. If you need to understand baseball, watch Moneyball. Draft well, develop them, then let them go because your money is tied up elsewhere. You know, trade them, get picks, stay young at some positions while your money is tied up in other positions. Bean is going to have to really be able to do something if his agent is like, hey, look at what Dak signed. Give me that money.
There is a way that they can actually pay him quite a hefty amount, spread it over and actually not incur a big cap hit on there. I mean, I can't remember it now. It was in the cover one episode they did when they were talking about salary cap. There is a way to actually get him a good long-term deal, which will make him one of the highest paid and not eat into a load of cap. But that's going to be the most important thing that Bean's got to work out now, is that how do you do that and make it team friendly, but also make him and pay him what he is turning out to be, a top five, top 10 quarterback.
Yeah. It's troublesome for me because I'm excited for it because it's another stature. It's a status thing. It puts us in the realm of this team is paying their quarterback, so it's going to be, you know, worth money. But then you look at some of the contracts in the top 10, you know, I think Matt Stafford deserved his. Detroit just couldn't put a team around him. But Jared Goff signed a god-awful contract. You know, there's a lot of, you know, players that have one halfway good season then just get a dump truck of money. I'm glad that the Bills are going to let Allen have another season. And, you know, for financial purposes, I hope that Allen has a very average year, but the team is better. So we can say, hey, you deserve $10 million less and actually have an argument for it.
Well, if they wanted to, they can have another 2 years of him on his rookie deal. Cause he's got that fifth year option.
But that's the thing though. The other thing about that is if they wait, then Dak Prescott's contract isn't going to be so scary in 2 years.
Yeah. No. I mean, now, they can, No, I mean they can give him a new contract, but actually not have it kick in until after that fifth year. So enjoy the other two years of his rookie contract. So you get that cap space for a bit. And then as soon as his cap's over, he's got that contract hits in. So you can give him like a seven year extension, mm-hmm. which starts after that fifth year. So in extension, it's going to be a 5 year contract they're going to give him.
Right.
Well, he's still going to be on that rookie deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The same goes with Edmonds, but
Dak Prescott's 2024 cap hit is $47.2 million.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's
so classic Dallas.
Yeah. But we'll see what Bean comes up with. I mean, one movie has made today, actually, at the time of this recording, which was Tuesday, was actually restructuring Mitch Morse. A $2 million cap saving on his contract to stay in Buffalo.
Yeah, this is something that we talked about in a previous show where we were like, hey, we'll cut you if you don't take a cap hit. Good luck getting signed. And I think this was that, because the Ian Rappaport tweet was that, took $2 million cap to stay in Buffalo. And I think that phrase has a lot of meaning. It's like, that was a take this hit or else kind of, if you want to look into it like that, that's the way I see it. So, yeah.
I think it's good. I mean,
these free agents are, anything that happens between all these guys going to get cut before the 21st, I think it is when you're going to see the majority of people getting announced.
Oh, no, 17th. The 17th, they've got to be under the cap space by the 17th. So
and the 21st is the day where roster bonuses
count
for this year. Yeah.
But then you're going to see some people may not get cut till after June the 1st. So their cap hit over the next, I think it's over the next few years after that or not, will actually not be so big if they cut them before June the 1st on there. But that's,
why didn't anybody ever tell me I need a freaking economics degree to understand football? Jesus.
Yeah, but no, it's a good thing on that, because it saves $2 million. They're a couple million under the cap with the rollover. The cap's set to be, I'm hearing, about 183 to 185. Obviously 180 being the lower, but they've also allowed teams to roll over a little bit extra. So I read on the article that the Bills are now $7 million under the cap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's before you even get into the likes of, are you going to cut Addison? You're going to cut Butler? You're going to cut Jefferson? What are you going to do with Brown? And all that sort of stuff. So the moves and the little bit of help is actually really, really going to be a lot easier, make it a little bit easier for Bean and the front office to manage that cap.
Yeah, and I think that John Brown might find himself in the same situation of, will you take this hit to stay here, or are you gonna go and test it? So we'll see there. He, among the few defensive linemen that we talk about, are the big names that get talked about often about being chopped. One other quick little bit of news that we didn't put in the notes, so I'm just springing this on you, but. Why is it that every time a player gets cut, now Bills Mafia wants to sign them? Literally every player. It's Kyle Rudolph. Yeah. It's Carlos Dunlap. Yeah. I'm like, who wants all these who wants a 32-year-old player? Like, they're all of their best years are behind them. Real quick, Kyle Rudolph, yes or no?
Over if we're going over what they're saying, that we're looking at Zach Ertz as trading for him, I'll take Rudolph over Zach Ertz, because you're not going to have to give up any picks.
And financially, Rudolph will come in as cheaper.
Yeah. But
the one thing about tight end is, if you draft one, he's not going to make a big splash in year one. That's just typically what tight ends do. It might be shifting, wide receivers never used to make a big rookie impact, but they do nowadays. So maybe if we draft the tight end, it will be. But Yeah, Rudolph, Ertz, you know, too old, too much money. Same thing with Carlos Dunlop. Best years behind him. I don't want to pay for can he do it again? I want to find a guy who, you know, can do, you know, not will he. So it's fun, though, because we're in a position where we know players will consider us. So all of a sudden, we literally can talk about any free agent, and there is a it is in the realm of possibility. So that's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, what we'll do now is move on to the main segment, the draft. On there, a question that's been asked a couple of times to me, one by Matt Haslam, who got in touch with me through the Facebook group Buffalo Bills UK, and another one from from Paul Howard. @RWBB_podcast, our Twitter handle. Paul's asked, how many times do we actually trade down from 30, or do we stick? And they both then said, would you take a running back with the first round pick? I would not take a running back with a first round pick.
I wouldn't take a running draft at all during this whole draft. We have two running backs. We're not going to sit or cut Singletary or Moss. I think we're going to roll with Singletary and Moss, and it's just going to have to be working on the offensive line run block over the offseason. So I think that's going to be the big focus. In terms of trading down, I don't know where the value drops off in conjunction to what our needs are. So I think that right now what we'll do is I'll pick a need and you'll tell me the player, and then we can discuss where we get them in the draft. And then that will determine if we should trade down or not.
Okay. So we're just based on the thing. So we'll keep it at the open-ended question then. Would you trade down for a specific, specific group?
Yeah. So we briefly talked about this on a previous show, but what's the number one need for the Bills? I think it's edge.
I can't remember what I said. I think, did I say it was I had it written down in my notepad somewhere else. Fuck's sake. I said it was offensive line. Offensive line, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, Mr. Draft Expert, who's there at 30 for those two positions? And if there isn't, if we trade down, you know, where does the value drop off? Like, who's someone to consider that could step in right away at those positions?
So what one do you want to go for first?
We'll hit offensive lineman first.
Tackle or guard?
Well, again, this is all impending on if we sign Williams or Feliciano. Let's just say one of them. We only sign Williams. Okay. So we need a guard.
Can we sign Williams?
Yeah.
Okay, so guard.
We need a guard. Is there a guard at 30 that's worth it?
There's two at least that's worth it. There you go. Out of Ohio State, you've got Wyatt Davis, 6'4", 310. He actually, he's a plug and play right guard straight away. You can get him at 30. You can even get him in the second round, high second. So he is someone definitely to do. He's actually, his run game is a lot better. I mean, he's a physical and powerful player. He's got great power. Is a bit iffy on the in pass protection. But he actually, in the run game, and what I guess the Bills want to actually really look into, you can actually get he thrives in it, and he can make a difference and open up those lanes in there. I mean, the other guy that people would actually ring the bell and actually run from their home to Cleveland to actually pick if he drops, which is possible, is the guard from USC, Elijah Vera Tucker, 6'4", 300 pounds. He actually played left tackle for the Trojans, but he's projected to be both inside and outside on there. So he can play guard, he can play tackle if needs be. So he's got that versatility. the athleticism and the and able to balance against a rush, and he's got a very mean, nasty, and competitive streak, which sort of looks like a Feliciano type role, where he actually will get physical and actually be pumped up about a lot of things. I think those two are definitely there at 30. But
I didn't write that down. Who is the first guy?
Wyatt Davis.
Okay, looking at that now. Okay.
Do you want the second one?
Yeah, what was that?
Elijah Vera Tucker. Alijah Vera Tucker.
He's not ranked in a... I don't see him in a top 50. I see Wyatt. I see the other guy in a top 50 list. So that's good. I'll take him. I like Ohio. I'll agree with you on Wyatt Davis. So both of those guys are at 30, you're saying. So if we take an offensive lineman with the first, if that's our focus, do we trade down if our focus is offensive line?
We can do. I mean, you can look at about three guys, maybe four, depending on how you play, at least Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma in there. You can class at least four, possibly five, that could actually end up in that second round. Creed Humphrey out of Oklahoma, Landon Dickerson out of Alabama, another Ohio State guard in Josh Myers, and potentially Trey Smith of Tennessee. All of them are really good in their games, and the run game is really what sets them out on there. So they still are good in the pass game, but all these guys actually started to excel a lot more in the run game. And as I said, we know what happened last year or last season. I can't believe I'm saying last season when it was only like a couple of months ago, with the run game and how it wasn't developed enough. Any of these five guys really can actually help step up that that run game and give a bit more physicality and open up a few more holes on the inside. After that, it does decline a little bit. You're potentially looking at Aaron Banks and Ben Cleveland, which would be probably the end of the third round, probably fourth round.
But that's probably not going to be a starter.
Yeah.
That player will need some time.
To be honest, Aaron Banks is probably the sleeper in this from Notre Dame. 6'5", 325. Has experience in both the zone and power running concepts. Was a guard in the Irish's spread offense. Is good in pass protection. However, he does have he's got a bit of Lee Smith in him. He loves to give away a few holding penalties, and he's got a couple of techniques that he just needs to be properly coached on. I think if we got him, probably he's gonna not be there by the time we get to our fifth round. So unless we trade down, get some more picks on there, or get him in the end with our third round pick, I think he could be a good sleeper and someone that would actually be able to come in and start making a difference. Maybe not a day one starter, but potentially someone that can come in halfway through the season and make that starting place his own.
That's the trouble thing is, do you trade down to get more players and then you have more variety in who can hit, and you know, if you miss, you know, you have someone else to, you know, possibly lean on? Or do you take the guy who's touted, you know, and then maybe identify another position of need via free agency? That's the interesting thing about free agency coming first, is that everything exactly that we say today might be moot by the time the draft comes.
Exactly. I mean, if you're looking at the other side, say we signed Feliciano and let Williams walk, I think the depth in there in tackle for the first two, potentially three rounds, is a lot better in there. Okay. Obviously, we're going to have no shot at Penei Sewell, Christian Darasu, and Rashawn Slater, who they're projected top 12 in the draft on there. So we can instantly rule those out. But you've got more recently been mocked to us, Tevin Jenkins, Jalen Mayfield, Liam Eichenberg of Notre Dame actually pegged to us a couple of times on there. So there is more of a drop-off on guard side than there is on tackle.
Okay.
To be honest. But so if you're giving me that question, would you trade down for a guard or a tackle or an offensive lineman? If we signed Williams and Vera Tucker was sitting there at 30, I would probably snap him up then and there. Okay. If not, I would actually hope and wait till about the third round and hope to snag like an Aaron Banks.
All right. Wait for the third for Banks, then we're looking at possibly edge rusher with 30. Explain to me where the drop off is from some of the top names that we could possibly see at 30 versus if we trade down someone who we can get in the mid second.
Well, as of now, obviously the pro days haven't happened yet, so the actual measurements and all that haven't really affected the draft itself and where they're ranked. But I mean, Quitty Payne, you've got 6'4", 277. He's more than likely going to go top 20 on there. The one Gregor Russo, who from Miami, 6'5", 260. He's again projected to go top 15. The ones really that are more in our range at 30 would be Jalen Phillips from Miami, 6'5", 258. Joseph Asai from Texas, 6'3", 245. But he's seen more as a potentially more of a hybrid, more of a 3-4 linebacker. And probably Azeez Olulare. I can never pronounce his name. Ojulari of Georgia. I think they are potentially their first round picks that can drop to 30. Mm-hmm. The drop off really you can see is probably quite a bit on there. I mean, you're looking at second round, you're probably going to have at least two or three go in there. But after that,
I see in the second round, Jason Owai from Penn State.
Yeah, he ran his pro day. He ran a 4.38 40.
Okay.
In his pro day.
Down the edge. There we go. Or Ronnie Perkins, Oklahoma. So what do you have on him, if anything?
Well, Jason Oway is the ideal role for him would be an outside linebacker, so a 3-4.
Well, that's okay because we also need that, but I mean we play the nickel more than anything, so we would be more of a versatile linebacker. You know,
there's the other guy you said.
Linebacker, it's all about replacing Milano. So real quick, let's go off on a tangent real quick. What linebacker can do what Milano does?
A few of them. You got Zaven Collins out of Tulsa, 6'4", 260. Nick Bolton, 6', 230. Both you can get in the first round. You got Jamin Davis, who is probably the most slept on player. He actually seems to be crawling up the draft boards. I'm on there from Kentucky, 6'4", 224. Him and Jabril Cox of LSU are probably the most Matt Milano like. Okay. out of these linebackers. They're pacey, they're sideline to sideline, they love a good hit, and they are good in coverage. So if anything, you can get those guys in the second or third round. Ideally, you're potentially looking at Collins and Bolton in the first round, maybe Owusu Koromoa of Notre Dame. He might drop, but he's more of your hybrid. So he's more of your, think of Carl Duggar, how people wanted that type of player last year, the hybrid that can play the big nickel, that's a converted safety that plays linebacker.
Sure. Sure.
I think he may be out of reach, but the name.
I just ran a mock draft on the Draft Network, and he went 29. So yeah.
So darn. With him, it can go anywhere on there. So those are the names really. Cox, Jamin Davis, are really the ones to look out for in the first three rounds.
All right. So we just covered three really important positions. Out of those three positions and the player that you and the players that you've mentioned, who's either the best fit for us or has like the best possibility of being an impact player right away?
That I'm going to, give a couple of names. I'm going to say Vera Tucker. And I'm going to go with the two linebackers, Cox and Davis. I think they're the ones that can come in, make an immediate impact, and actually fill the holes that we actually that we have on there. Mm-hmm. I think.
Hey, Cox, who? What?
Jabril Cox, linebacker out of LSU.
Okay.
Him and Davis are pretty much Milano, almost Milano clones. They've got a bit of pace on them. They're actually good sideline to sideline. They've got a hit on them, and they're decent in coverage.
Okay.
And when you've got the likes of Kelce in there, you're going to want guys like him, like them, to actually really become physical and actually come down there, come down on them.
Well, if you are being Todd McShay right now and you know what you're talking about, then Cox and that offensive lineman. Wyatt Davis, offense. Yeah, so Wyatt Davis, Ohio State, and Jabril Cox, LSU, look to be both second round picks. So if that's the goal, then trade down I would feel good about if those guys are who you say they are.
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, especially when you're going to have teams that if the likes of a Mac Jones or Kyle Trask drop quarterbacks, one from Alabama, one from Florida, drop to our sort of range, you can potentially see some teams in the second round, high second round, want to move up to get that fifth year contract. The good thing about the Bills position is if there's a player that a team, especially in the higher part of round two, want, and they can get him with the fifth year option, they're going to be more open to a trade, so you can get potentially two second rounds out there to get the likes of Davis and Cox, and also pick up what we don't have, a fourth. I've seen some mocks machines giving us a second, fifth, and a sixth or seventh.
Okay.
For a number 30 pick, but it's interesting, and I can see us potentially if the way the scouts are doing, we can actually go down a lot more. I mean, the one person I really do like at 30, and people may or may not like me for it, is Efentanu Melifanu of Syracuse, cornerback, 6'3", 212 pounds, has actually had a really, really great Senior Bowl. And actually been one of the better cornerbacks for Syracuse, a very rangy, athletic, and physical player, and best fits in a zone scheme, which what McDermott loves to run with his cornerbacks. So you've got a guy who's actually quite...
It's good to know that there are players out there who could fit our scheme, where if we can't get them in free agency, we can get them in the draft. So looking at linebacker, offensive tackle, edge, and cornerback, I would agree that those are our biggest needs. If two of those guys get addressed in free agency, then two of them can be in the draft, one of them in free agency, then a trade down, and then three of them be addressed in the draft. It looks like a hopeful offseason, where honestly, I would say this offseason had me worried about being able to fill holes while working out the cap space and still having a impact defensive line, which I think is probably the most important thing outside of
exactly
play in the NFL. Is quarterback's got to be good, then getting to the quarterback got to be good. So
I think people are going to the one thing they're going to look at over the free agency is what they're going to do at the tight end situation. I'm briefly going to just quickly mention it because on there is a real drop-off on tight ends-wise. I mean, you've got your top three of Kyle Pitts, who is going top five. He is that generational tight end that that will actually win people a lot of fantasy games if they draft him. Pat Freiermuth of Penn State and Brevin Jordan, those three are the consensus top three tight ends. You can probably get two of them, Freiermuth and Jordan, in the second round. After that, you're going to have a bit of a drop off on there. So I think
Now you're adding tight end. Now you're complicating things.
I'm not.
I just felt good about how we're going to do. Now it gets complicated because you're right. We do need to address tight end. You know, do they believe in Dawson Knox? That's a huge question. That's a podcast by itself, you know?
Yeah. But we'll come on to that another time. I mean, I did have a couple of mock drafts that people sent me just to go over, but I think we'll save that for. Why don't you say that for our next guest? Our guest on the next show. Next show coming up, we're going to do a free agency primer. We're going to have Anthony Mourinho back from the Buffalo Rumblings Network talk free agents. I might even bust out those two mock drafts and see what his views are. Do you really have anything else to add, or have I blown your mind so far with some of the talent that
I absolutely have a lot of research to do on the draft and who's a fit. And, you know, what it's all about, what they excelled at in college.
Yeah.
You know, what their best physical traits are and how it predicts to our scheme.
Yeah.
There are players who are talented but get drafted by the wrong team and nothing ever comes of it. And I think that we have the right staff to identify all of these things. So it's going to be really exciting. God knows there's no reason to watch hockey. So may as well just dive into this.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. I mean, as I say, this is even before free agency. We're talking about these prospects, these positions on there. This is even before free agency. I mean, as I say, the real draft stuff comes pretty much the start of April, where you've had the first 2 weeks of free agency. The teams know what they want to do and all that, and then they can start planning on there. So our list will probably be a lot different come April than it will as of now. And that's the one good thing about this season, is that talent can drop and drop, rise and rise, just based on what teams do in free agency. And come draft day, Owusu Koromoa drop to the middle of the second round and see like Aaron Banks jump up to the top of the third round, end of the second round, because of the pro days, because of what the situation we're in at the moment with COVID and no combine and limited tape from this year. So this period, this next month or two, really going to be showing what the teams are made of, especially the front office. And in Brandon Bean, I actually do trust him and his scouts to actually to deliver a good draft, and of the scouts the free agency as well.
Absolutely. I mean, looking back at what we wanted from last year's draft, I think my second round pick got picked in the fifth. Your second round pick got picked in the fourth. So what the hell do we know at the end of the day?
Exactly. So thank you guys for listening to this episode. I've run a few names, quick names through past you, if you want to go check them out. As I say, next episode, we'll be speaking to Anthony Mourinho, about the free agency and all that. And just continue to show your love, hit the likes, the support, the follow, the subscribe, the word of mouth, all that stuff at RWBB_podcast_UK_Bills on Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook and on Instagram, and on YouTube as well. And for Alex, this is Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. keep subscribing, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.